This is ESPN Radio.
It's Kanzi and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, but Peter Burns and Amber Wilson filling in. Big shoes of those two. Give us a call, 888-SAY-ESPN. Remember, ESPN Radio, always presented by Progressive Insurance. And all guests like this man, the myth, the legend, Sal Palantonio, joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. Sal, let's talk about some of these big NFL games, including the ones you're going to be at, the Cleveland Browns and the Ravens. Who's healthier right now? Sal Palantonio after Thanksgiving or Lamar Jackson playing this week?
Yeah, well, I twisted my ankle in my annual turkey bowl yesterday. memo to 65-year-olds out there, probably time to give it up, hang up the spikes. I'm just telling you right now.
So did they did they shoot you up with, like, the horse tranquilizer afterward? They give you some good stuff that you were able to play through the pain? Or are you on the DL for an extended period of time?
Hey, listen, that's off the record, okay? I can't tell you what I got after the game, okay?
Love it. What is the status, though, of Lamar? I mean, back practicing?
Yeah.
What do you see here?
Well, Lamar is feeling much healthier than he was last week. Is he 100%? Don't know, and we won't find out until game time. Remember, on their way out to Chicago, he wasn't feeling well, and after that was after he practiced, and they had to scratch him. He was a scratch on Saturday when they flew out there. So, we'll have to wait and see. He says he's feeling better. Obviously, they're a much different team with Lamar Jackson than without him. The fact that he's done so well against the Cleveland Browns defense lately, 4-1 overall, is good for the Ravens if he's out there on the field. You know, the problem has been his reliability in the last couple of years because of his illness. But, they have the edge when he's there and they are at home. The problem is really the Cleveland Browns can dictate right now on offense with Nick Chubb. What we showed on the matchup show and what Matt Bowen does a great job of breaking down on film on our show tomorrow morning on ESPN2, shameless plug. I don't mind if I do that, do you?
No.
Matt Bowen shows just what kind of offensive sets that Kevin Stefanski has been using. Two tight ends, three tight ends on the field, whatever gets you through the football game. They've been trying to go heavy package, load up, and hand the ball to Nick Chubb. What's the reason? They don't have a healthy quarterback, right? I mean, that's the bottom line. Baker Mayfield is not 100%. He's dealing with a shoulder injury and other ailments, and it's pretty clear that he's not 100%. So they got to rely on Nick Chubb, and so far the formula has been working. And it'll be up to Josh Bynes and Patrick Queen, the two linebackers for the Ravens, to sift through that heavy package and get to Chubb before he gets ahead of steam.
You mentioned that Baker Mayfield, Sal, is not 100%. In your opinion, should the Browns be playing him?
Tough to know. I'm not that close to the team. Baker Mayfield's a tough character. He's not going to come off the field because of an injury like this. But, I'm sure conversations have taken place between the coaching staff, the medical staff, and the training staff, and Baker Mayfield and his team. And they've all come to the conclusion that Baker Mayfield will play. And we'll have to see how effective he is, right? So you look at this team, you look at this division. They're 6-5. Every team in the division is over 500. It's the only division in the NFL where every team is over 500. But everybody is pretty close. Mm-hmm. Point differential for the Ravens, plus 17, plus 52 for the Bengals because they had a couple of overload games. Minus 12 for the Steelers, even though they're 5-4, minus 12 for Cleveland. So all of them are challenged offensively in terms of scoring points. The defensive side is there. The points against is there, but the points for is not. And so they're trying to find ways to score points. And if they think Baker Mayfield is the best gives them the best opportunity to score points, they're going to put him on the field, and he's going to stay on the field because he's a tough guy, and he really is. I know him well. He's a tough player.
Sal Palantonio joining Peter Burns and Amber Wilson here, filling in for Candy and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And Sal, pal, when a team you talked about, hey, I may not know as the Browns as close as you probably know this Eagle squad. I've been fascinated with the Jalen Hurts story and how he's really kind of put a jolt into this team with his play as of late. Cowboys end up losing, something to see and hear and believe that this Eagles team is starting to kind of round into shape and that the NFC East is still up for grabs?
Well, Peter, that's a great question, and it dovetails off of the point that Amber just made about, the Browns and the Ravens, because when you look at the Eagles, they're running Lamar Jackson's offense. They're running Greg Roman's offense in Baltimore. It's a run-based offense off of RPOs where the running back is a threat to run. And have they limited the number of throws for Jalen Hurts? Yes. Is that going to get them to the Super Bowl? Don't know. But here's the big thing. Not only are they running the football and running it really well and running it at the quarterback position, but they only have 9 turnovers in 11 games. That's because Jalen Hurts really takes care of the football. When you have 9 turnovers in 11 games and your quarterback doesn't turn the ball over and you control the clock like that, Peter, you're going to win football games in the NFL in November and December. You just are. And you look at the stark contrast with the New York Football Giants, where Daniel Jones, for his entire career, has been a turnover machine. It's hard to get in front of the sticks, no matter how well or badly you're playing on both sides of the ball, if your quarterback is constantly giving the other team better field position. So I think that's the two secrets to the Eagles' success here in the last 4 weeks. Run the ball out of the quarterback position. Quarterback doesn't turn the ball over, and it's working.
Yeah, it's amazing what happens when you run the ball with a quarterback who can run. So if I had to ask you, Sal Pal, will Jalen Hurts be the starting quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles in 2022?
Ah, Amber, hey, you know, I could make a lot of money in Vegas with the answer to that question. I think it's still up in the air. I think the odds are moving into Jalen's favor. There's no question about it. But remember, Trader Howie Roseman, general manager for the Birds, loves to move around that board, especially in the first round. And he's got a lot of chess pieces next year. He's got 3 first-round picks. But I don't know enough about this draft to tell you that there is a first-round quarterback that's a franchise quarterback who's plug-in and play. That's a Mel Kiper Jr. question. In November, December, January, February, March, April, and May. I mean, you know, to me, that will develop as people get closer to the draft. But I would say, I'm just going to go, how about this, Amber? I'm going to go yes. I'm going to say yes.
There you go.
I'm going to say yes. How about that?
You know, Sal, I'm glad you said that because I've got big hair, not as well coiffed as our boy Mel Kiper Jr. has. And when you look at this, it's kind of a weak quarterback class that's coming out. Malik Willis at Liberty, Hugh Freeze's quarterback, is pretty good, but we've seen him shut down. Actually, Ole Miss shut him down. Matt Corral, the kid out of Oxford for Ole Miss, we saw play last night in their win against Mississippi State. He's good, but I'm not quite sure if you see that big of a gap between, hey, a couple years of experience of Jalen Hurts and what he could bring to this Eagle squad versus, hey, we're going to have a guy who has a similar skill set, maybe a slightly better passer, but am I willing to take that risk with all that capital? I don't think so. So, again,
especially when you have holes on the football team, right, Peter, that could be plugged with a quarterback who's playing competently. So not only would you have to change your offense with a new quarterback, but, you know, here's one of the things that I love about Jalen Hurts is his natural leadership ability. Mm-hmm. You know, and sometimes that gets overstated, but I talked to him after the game. I did a one-on-one interview with him for SportsCenter after the game. He hasn't done too many of those this year. In fact, he's done none. And it was a big game. And I said to him, the last question I gave to him was, "What? Hey, is this a turning point for this team?" And he kind of looked at me and shot me a stare. He said, "You know, I'm not going turning point." He goes, "You know, we got to get better. We're not good enough to basically say that we're going to be in every game or we can play a weak schedule and all that stuff. we got to get better week to week is the upshot of what he said. And he gave me the line that he's always repeated, which says the rent is due every day. And, you know, players around him who have won Super Bowls,
yeah.
Jason Kelce, Lane Johnson, and they're impressed with him. They really are. They're impressed with that attitude. And I think it's kept this team on schedule and kept them in the hunt when everybody had given up on them.
He learned that leadership over under Nick Saban, worked well in that quarterback room with Tua Tagovailoa at Alabama, and did a great job with Lincoln Riley over at Oklahoma as well, now doing a good job with the Eagles. Last question for you, Sal. Rams coming off that bye, going up to the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field, where it's going to be pretty chilly. Concerns with Aaron Rodgers in this matchup, or what do you see in this one?
Well, you know, listen, Peter. This is why Sean McVay went out and traded for Matthew Stafford.
Mm-hmm.
Because he wants to beat Aaron Rodgers. He wants to beat Aaron Rodgers late in the year and in the postseason. And he wants to be able to beat him at Lambeau Field. Couldn't do that with Jared Goff last year. I covered that game. Rams lost that game because Aaron Donald got hurt. And Jared Goff couldn't provide enough offense to beat Aaron Rodgers. So this is all about, to me, whether or not this trade was worth it. Because Aaron Rodgers is 12-4 against Matthew Stafford. Won three straight. Stafford was with the Lions, so we'll give him that. But now he's got this Rams team that's been loaded up. And so here's what you're going to see. The last couple of weeks, the Rams have gotten embarrassed. They couldn't stop the run or run the ball. Sean McVay's offense was five wide. He documented it. Greg Cosell has documented it on our show. The five wide, the empty formations, didn't work. Matthew Stafford was under siege. And with Joe Barry's defense in Green Bay, you know they're coming after Matthew Stafford. So, A, does Sean McVay change his offense to protect Stafford? In this game, this is the most important thing, because this is a race for the number one seed in the NFC. Tom Brady took care of business on Monday night. Mm-hmm. The Rams want to play the NFC Championship game in L.A. They do not want to go to Green Bay. They do not want to go to Tampa in the playoffs. They're looking to win this game on the road to prevent that from happening. So does Sean McVay change his offense from five wide empty sets, protect Stafford, against Joe Barry's defense, which has been very, very good, a big improvement over Mike Pettine's defense of last year, and score enough points to keep up with an Aaron Rodgers on a bad toe? That's the whole game right there. Can Stafford show up? Can McVay dial up formations and matchups to help Stafford beat an Aaron Rodgers who's not 100%? That's the key to the game.
And that's the key to you being one of the best in the business. Sal Palantonio, I got a whole lot smarter. I got like 14 pages of notes looking for the game inside the game. Thanks, buddy. We appreciate the time and enjoy that Ravens-Browns game, right?
All right, Peter. Thanks, Amber.
There it is. Sal Palantonio, our ESPN NFL reporter. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. If your pet is hurt in a car accident, Progressive pays up to $1,000 in vet expenses with free pet coverage. Visit Progressive.com. A man that had a cup of coffee over in the NFL but is dominating college football over the last, decade is Nick Saban. In case you didn't hear about his rant this week, it was epic. And just wait till you hear it was who it was directed at. Candy and Golic Jr., Peter Burns, Amber Wilson filling in for the guys here on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Not down with the Kings and not down with Canty Golic Jr. It is Burns and Wilson. Peter Burns, Amber Wilson tuning in and filling in right now on ESPN Radio. You can tune in to a football doubleheader Sunday. Bengals and the Steelers, followed by Chargers at Broncos. Coverage begins noon Eastern on select ESPN radio stations. Amber, I'm not going to lie, and I'll tell you this because my wife is not listening right now. I love hosting this show right now from 3 to 7 Eastern because I'm not going to have to put the kids to bed. Like, this is the greatest thing. In fact, Devin, we're going to have a post-show meeting and really talk about what worked and what
for
didn't
like 30
work.
30 minutes.
Just 30 minutes. Just if I can get us to 7:30, I don't have to do this, I mean, the absolute contract negotiations I'm in with my 4-year-old daughter every single night to put her to bed, whether it's Cocomelon, Starbeam, are we doing something on Amazon? Are we doing something on Disney Plus? Like, it is, she's the Jimmy Sexton of negotiating bedtimes right now.
My son just started that crud. Now, my son's a little younger than your daughter. Oh. He's just over 2.5, and he just started the bedtime negotiations, and I am hating bedtime. And it's funny because I was actually, Peter, I was actually having a conversation with one of my best girlfriends this morning, and she was telling me how much she loves bedtime. And I said, that's just something that mothers say, okay? You don't actually love bedtime.
No.
Bedtime, it's not fun, okay? Once the kids start, they want the, you know, they want another book and then another song, and they want to, you know, do, like you said, like the lights, or they want a show, or they want this and they want that, and it's a lot of wants. My son's, he comes up with things he wants, you know, mm-hmm. like he wants more water, he wants a different type of juice, or it's ridiculous.
I'm glad I'm not the only person here. And if you're driving right now and listening to us on ESPN Radio, how many people are looking at each other, at their spouse, they'd be like, hey, yes, that's our family. We're
they
not the
it.
Only
and
people that have to deal with that.
And if you are listening, your excuse tonight should be, I need to listen to Peter Burns and Amber Wilson until 7 p.m. Eastern, and therefore I can't put the kids to bed. We're all in this together.
Sorry. Hit us up. If you know how to handle that, hit us up. AmberW790 on Twitter, myself, at Peter Burns, ESPN. Or I could just have Coach Nick Saban be a part of our bedtime routine, right? I mean, listen, my wife's a diehard Alabama fan. If I can get Coach at SEC Media Days next year to just have one of his rants to talk to my daughter about how to go to bed, it'd be perfect. For those who missed it, the Nick Saban Show is always an interesting one of these coaches' radio shows. They have it over in Tuscaloosa. Well, Nick, leading into the Iron Bowl this week, was talked about this team, and let's just say it was it led to some interesting conversations. See how many times you can hear him say the word "ight." Take a listen.
When I came here, everybody was happy to win a game. All right, now we're not happy to win a game anymore. We're not happy to win a game at all. All right, we think we should win games by whatever. And I don't think that's fair to the players either. All right, because our players work their butt off, all right, to be the best that they can be. All right, and to get criticized for what they work hard for to do so that you can be entertained. All right, so that you can enjoy and have pride and passion for what they accomplish and what they do. And they're not perfect. They're just college students. They're going to they go to school every day. They got to study. They have to run extra after practice when they miss study hall. I mean, come on, give me a break. This is not professional football. These guys aren't getting paid to play here. They're representing you all. You should be proud and happy to support them and appreciate what they do and have some gratitude. And you know what else? Nobody wants to win worse than they do. Not me, not you, I don't care what kind of fan you are. Nobody wants to win more than the players that play. Nobody. And nobody feels worse than they do when they lose. Nobody. So for all you self-absorbed folks out there that can't look past your own self, all right, to appreciate what other people are doing.
We had 9 ites. Like, that is always, and covering Nick Saban for the last, decade that I've done it, anytime you hear more than 2.5 ites on the ite counter, you know things are about to go down. Like, I don't know if a coach's presser show has ever moved the line in Vegas. God bless the Auburn Tigers in the Iron Bowl this week and TJ Finley and Brian Harsin's squad, because we got, 9 ites in that that meltdown over the Alabama fans, Amber.
Yeah, I think we know what Nick Saban's verbal tick is. What we also know is that Alabama fans are a glutton for punishment because they were clapping and cheering the whole time Nick Saban's insulting them. I found that really amusing about that clip. Only Nick Saban can get away with something like that, right? And then he calls himself absorbed. I frankly don't even know how it's self-absorbed to want your football team to win. But nevertheless, this is where we're at. Alabama's expectations obviously are exceptionally high because, you know, he set them there.
Right.
That's what happens when you do the whole lot of winning. And I think he's lost, I don't have it in front of me, I think he's lost something like 27 games his entire tenure there. I mean, they're used to winning. So yes, they take the winning for granted. That is what happens when you do a whole lot of it.
He has done it extremely well. And again, one of the reasons why, if Mel Tucker's making $9.5 million a year, Nick Saban has 7 national titles, should probably make about $30 million a year. We're going to get into that because both of our respective favorite teams, LSU and Florida, their job is open. But they may not be the best job that's opening right out there. What is? We'll tell you next. Peter Burns and Amber Wilson. First, Amber, tell me a little something about Wendy's.
Right now at Wendy's, Peter, you can see what all the hype is about with their new guaranteed hot and crispy fries. We're talking real natural cut potatoes, perfectly sprinkled in sea salt and guaranteed to be hot and crispy down to that very last fry, or they'll replace them. These aren't just the typical fries that you add to a meal, okay? These are fries worth adding to a meal. Abandon those old, cold, soggy fries and head to Wendy's today, where your French fries are guaranteed to be hot and crispy at participating U.S. Wendy's.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Gojo on ESPN Radio, minus Canty and Gojo. Peter Burns and Amber Wilson filling in. 888-SAY-ESPN is the number, and this is always ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. And all guests like Adam Rittenberg is going to be joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. He'll be coming up a little bit later. As some of the games have been rolling on, we saw San Diego State, their incredible punter, get a win over Boise State earlier, and we just were watching East Carolina. It was up 3-0 after the first quarter on Cincinnati, Amber Wilson, and then the Bearcats finally on the board, getting a touchdown there at the start of the second quarter, 7-3. I was wondering why all these Notre Dame fans were tweeting about, oh, look at East Carolina go. Now I kind of wonder. Now it makes a whole lot of sense, as the College Football Playoff Committee is going to be locked and loaded. Like this, them being on national television today, where no other monster games outside of Missouri and Arkansas are, you know, taking up the TV dials, it's kind of a blessing or a curse for the Bearcats, right? I mean,
yeah, because all eyes are focused on you. Which, frankly, a lot of eyes are focused on you anyways, because it's been such a conversation now for so many weeks whether finally a group of five is going to do it. But now all eyes are on you, and you know the committee members are watching either way. But of course, they're really watching this one, because what the heck else are they watching? So that could not go so well for the Bearcats, who really need to, of course, not just beat teams but completely dominate teams. The good news is for Cincinnati is they're in as of right now. So it's right. A lot harder to move them out, you know, that once they're in, if barring, of course, a loss here.
With that being said, just as a college football fan, what do you want to see? Are you pulling for Cincinnati this point?
100%. I absolutely want the chaos. I don't want the predictability. I don't need to see, first of all, I don't need to see another first round exit from Notre Dame if somehow that was to happen again. I don't need to see Bama, whether it's with one loss or two losses in there. I don't need to see, you know, just Ohio State wins the Heisman and then we just get the Ohio State Georgia matchup that we all could have predicted going into the season. The problem, of course, with college football, and one of the things that I'm looking forward to with playoff expansion, is that it does tend to be a bit predictable. This season has had the most parity I remember in getting to the end of it, but we could end up in a situation here where the end of it looks about the same as every other year. The parity was only kind of fool's gold in the regular season.
With that being said, so the way that would go down is if Georgia, actually the way that would go down is if you had Georgia and Alabama in, Ohio State wins, and maybe that fourth team being Notre Dame, if Cincinnati fell, and you, or have Oklahoma in there as well, you'd have some of the same cast of characters. But the biggest chaos that I guess you could have is you can have Oklahoma State if they go out and run the table, including beating Oklahoma and winning the Big 12 championship. You could have a Cincinnati. You could have a Michigan, of course, in their big game coming up this weekend in Ann Arbor, and in Georgia. And, I mean, that's what people want, right? They don't want to see the same cast of characters overall. Give me a new reality show to watch. Right. And I'm looking forward to when the college football playoff does finally expand, because we will get a little bit of new blood in and around. You and I are in interesting situations, because we're talking about some of the most interesting job openings in college football right now. Adam Rittenberg had his top four openings. He's going to join us in about 2 hours. He had it ranked this way. LSU 1, Southern Cal 2, Florida, your Florida Gators coming in 3, and Washington, not Virginia Tech, Washington Huskies over out west in the Pac-12 as 4. Believe, are you on board with that?
Of course I'm not on board with that.
I just, I wanted, to come out of your mouth, not me, the kid born and raised in Baton Rouge,
Louisiana. I'm not on board with this for several reasons. Now, I actually think I would have Virginia Tech third in my rankings if I did like a top five job openings, because I think that's a very winnable conference, you know, a winnable league that they're in, plus a football-focused school. So I actually think that that is somewhat of an underrated job. When we talk about that job, I think he has them like sixth or seventh on this list. Adam Rittenberg does sixth on this list for Vautech. I was a little surprised by that. He's got Washington and TCU ahead of Virginia Tech. So first of all, I differ from him there. I would have USC as the second best job. So what does that mean for me for number one? Well, for number one, that means that I have UF and LSU tied. Because I don't understand this idea that people think LSU is such a better job, frankly, than UF. And yes, I'm being somewhat of a homer in this conversation, but I think I can be both a homer and correct at the same time. When we're talking about the expectation level, I mean, the expectation level is unbelievably high for both schools. Obviously, the competition level is unbelievably high for both schools playing in the SEC. You could even argue the East may be a little bit easier than the West generally, because you don't have to go through Alabama. So, you know, that's kind of very similar. So is when we're talking about two programs with a whole lot of money and a very rabid fan base and a whole lot of boosters. And it all kind of looks a lot alike. With UF, on the other hand, though, Peter, over your Tigers here, UF is about to have better facilities than LSU because they finally spent the $86 million or whatever it is that they're building brand new facilities right now that Mullen actually had a bit of a hand in designing. I don't know if the new coach would. I don't know how finished they are, frankly. I don't know if the new coach would have to say that.
So when Billy Napier takes over as the University of Florida head coach, which I firmly believe is going to happen, the Louisiana Lafayette coach of the Raging Cajuns. Because remember,
he gets brand new facilities, whether he gets help put a stamp on them or not. He gets brand new facilities out of the gate. That's huge, right? And then, of course, he's in the hotbed of recruiting. Like, you're in the best state for recruiting in the entire country. That ain't Louisiana. That is the state of Florida. I don't understand why people think LSU is the far and away better job.
Well, they say it. They say it, and they're right in saying such, in the fact, Amber, that three different coaches have won national titles there, right? Nick Saban, Les Miles found his way and won in 2007. And, of course, we just saw Ed Orgeron, something that hasn't been done in, what, since Steve Spurrier? I mean, since Urban Meyer.
We've had Steve Spurrier, Urban Meyer. Two to
correct.
Three, great.
Now, with that being said, I think you also take a look at LSU. They're not really competing against the same recruits as Louisiana Tech, right? As Louisiana Monroe, or even Billy Napier's squad in Lafayette. And one of the reasons why I think Lincoln Riley is truly interested in this LSU job is the fact of saying, listen, I can dominate the Big 12. I can always be in contention there. But sooner or later, I'm going to be in the SEC. And if I can get my put a fence around the amount of talent and bring my offense skill set into Louisiana talent, where I'm not having to compete against Florida State, I'm not having to compete against UCF and Gus Malzahn, not having to compete against Manny Diaz if Lane Kiffin does
indeed decide to go down. That's cute that you think those programs right now are in a position to compete with Florida in recruiting. You want this Lincoln Riley thing to happen
so bad.
This conversation has gone, by the way, when in fact he could just stay at Oklahoma and still recruit players out of Louisiana.
Okay, now you're upsetting me. She's Amber Wilson. I'm Peter Burns. All right, bigger picture then. All right. If you're taking it outside of college football, we had this discussion over at Thanksgiving dinner, and I want to have it with you guys here, 888-SAY-ESPN. If you could kick a certain head coach out of their job right now, you get your genie in the bottle wish, and you could replace them, what job are you taking? What is actually the best job in a head coaching job in all of sports right here, right now? 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. Amber Wilson, Peter Burns, in for Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. One of the best Biggie songs, A Story to Tell. Was he talking about Anthony Mason maybe back in the day? I can't remember. I got to go Google that. Peter Burns, Amber Wilson. This is Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
You didn't know how old me and Peter are. You know now.
Yes, now you know. Whenever I know exactly the backstory of Notorious B.I.G., like deep tracks off their albums just by the music bed, that is sad to say. 888-SAY-ESPN. I asked you, by the way, America, you did not understand the assignment, okay? This show, always great. Canty and Golic Jr., brought to you by Goodyear, with you for every mile on the road to greatness. Goodyear, more driven. The assignment was, if you could kick any coach out that has a good gig, i.e., like, And who has the best gig in all of sports? We were talking about college programs.
Yeah, but you're basically just asking what is the best job in sports, period. Like, jobs in sports were open.
For me, I'm probably taking out Andy Reid, right? Like, I'm just saying, Andy, thanks. You know what? Go enjoy the days in your Hawaiian shirts. I got Patrick Mahomes locked in. The AFC, you know, I still don't think, now especially with the news with Tre'Davious White being out for the whole year, ACL, that was announced earlier today. The Bills don't necessarily strike a whole lot of fear in this team. I think the Patriots are still an okay team that's building upon Mac Jones. I take Kansas City. Great fan base. You're in the NFL. That might be the best job in all of sports right now. But I don't think our listeners understood the assignment, Amber.
The argument against that would be the market. I mean, no offense, Kansas City, but I think you could make an argument there that, you know, the bigger the market, the more opportunity there is, and more opportunity as well to kind of build a brand around yourself. Like, all the kids are doing these days. Maybe the coaches can take a page out of that playbook and make some more money beyond just their salary. Although I don't know if coaches really have time to capitalize on building a brand around themselves.
Pay me $10 million. I don't care how much other money I'm wasting.
Well, so that's my question. Like, do you get to absorb your predecessor's salary? Because then I think Bill Belichick is the highest paid coach, right, in American sports at $18 million. So does that make his job the best job because he's paid the most? Although then you're walking in the shoes of one of the best, arguably the best football coach ever. Like, nobody wants to replace that guy, right? Like, you want to replace somebody who maybe hasn't done much but has the talent to do it. So I would argue maybe like a Brooklyn Nets job right now. You know, because Steve Nash hasn't had an opportunity to do anything yet. But man, he's got, you know, some of the best talent in the entire sport, arguably the best player in the entire sport right now in KD. So I think that could be a big job. Obviously, the Lakers job with LeBron, you could make that argument as well.
All right. Peter Burns, Amber Wilson here. Josh is in West Virginia. Settle that debate for us, Josh. What's the one you're taking?
I'm taking Sean McVay's job in L.A. I don't think it gets any better than that.
Living in L.A., you've got a GM that says, what do you need? How much do you need? Let's get it done right now. And you're built to win. And now,
you make the right moves. You bring in the right pieces in the offseason. You're willing to, you know, make the moves that maybe other people wouldn't be willing to make when a quarterback's gotten you there before. But you're willing to move on from him because, you know, he doesn't really have the goods. So you have a much better option at this point. And, of course, the second biggest market in the country. I do like Sean McVay. I like that as an option.
Draft day is kind of boring for you because you don't have any draft picks until like 2032, though, Josh. Are you going to be okay with that?
Yeah, man, I'll just be on the beach sipping my drink, watching the draft.
I love it. That's a good one, right? You get to be around the marquee sport, America's sport, which is the NFL. So I'd put that up on the list.
Now, we're not talking – it's funny that we've deviated away from college because you could argue that the best gig – in all of sports is a fired college coach. Like Dan Mullen right now might actually have the best gig in all of sports because he just got $6 million in 30 days and he gets $1 million every year for the next 6 years if he does absolutely nothing. Like he could just do absolutely nothing, go, you know, have a vacation with his wife for the next 6 years and $1 million is going to get deposited into his bank account. So maybe that's the best gig.
That's not a bad one. Real quick, Chris is in South Carolina. You got about 30 seconds. Chris, what do you got for us, man?
Yeah, I'm taking the Alabama job.
Now, it's good. The problem is, Amber, you talk about don't want to follow the shoes of Bill Belichick. Who in the world would want to follow the shoes of Nick Saban? Like, you want to be the guy that follows the guy that follows Nick Saban.
Like, there's got to be a little separation. You know, there's got to be some separation between Bear Bryant and you, right? Like, there's got to be some separation. So you could go to Bama, but it would need to be, you know, a few generations removed from Nick Saban.
What's always interesting about that, too, is people have said, oh, well, Dabo Swinney will clearly take over for Alabama afterwards. I was like, why would Dabo ever do that? He's building, you know, kind of his legendary status over there at Clemson. All right, you're trying to make money this weekend, the Bear. We'll ask him that question about what job that he would take, and also he's pretty good at College Game Day and bets as well. Chris Velika joining Peter Burns and Amber Wilson coming up here on Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.